Welcome to the Passive Profits Podcast from StraightBlocker.com, where you'll learn from people already doing it how to build profit-producing online assets without having to leave the house. Now, here's your host, the guy whose biggest fear is having a boss, Nate Rivers.
Hey, everybody. Nate Rivers here with Session 9 of the Passive Profits Podcast. And in this session, I made a few blog posts in between this and the last podcast, so I'm going to basically cover those topics pretty quick on what those blog posts were about. Some of it was information that was basically only made sense in a video. I did a screencast of me doing market research with Market Samurai. So on that note, first of all, you probably have heard that, you know, Market Samurai ran into a big problem with Google banning some of its servers and everything. And the bottom line is the biggest changes that affect doing market research is that the Market Samurai had to switch to Bing from where they get their search or title competition and their search engine competition. And those are, I mean, that's like the biggest thing I look at when I'm looking at how competitive a site is going to be to get ranked. And so it's just, I don't know, it's not going to work anymore for me. A lot of people, you know, have gone off for the same reason, just because Bing's data for search engine title competition is just not that useful when you're mainly trying to get your sites ranked in Google. So it's basically irrelevant information. So the thing that I've found to replace Market Samurai right now that I really, really like that is an excellent program is Spencer Haw's Longtail Pro from nichepursuits.com. So you can, I mean, there will be a link to it below this video if you haven't heard of it. That's kind of what most people that are, you know, needing something besides Market Samurai because of that change, that's what most people are finding and using now because his product still works. It works great. It's pulling the information from Google and it just works a little bit differently. That's why his is still able to work and pull the search engine title competition. So that's one big change. And let's see, in the blog post that I didn't make a podcast for on this Amazon series, it was titled Building an Amazon Niche Site versus an Authority Site. And in the first few podcasts, I kind of made the impression that, you know, you should start out with an authority site in mind, as that is the best way to go. And long term, that still is true. I feel like, well, it's not even what I feel like. That's just a fact. A big authority site with a ton of index content, relevant content, a high average time on site, low bounce rate, that is, you know, much better than a small niche site for sure. I mean, anyone would agree with that in terms of what works best in Google's eyes. So that still is the best way. However, the way that I go about figuring out what sites I'm going to work or add more content to and turn into a big authority site, I realized that I hadn't really laid that out clearly. So basically what you want to do is what I feel like is the best approach for these Amazon niche sites and really any niche site. I mean, this is how I start off all my sites, whether it's going to be for AdSense, you know, ClickBank, digital products, Amazon, whatever it may be. You want to put up these small niche sites that are 7 to 10 pages, because even when you look at search engine title competition and, you know, you found keyword phrases that hit all the right parameters as far as keyword research and the numbers are right, it's almost kind of a crapshoot as to whether it's going to get ranked in the top 10 of Google. I mean, numerous times I've just, you know, had similar keywords that fall within the parameters that I look for. And, you know, some of them, it takes months to get on the first page. Usually it's within, you know, 6 weeks. That's what's normal. You know, using the link building methods that I use. And so it's really, there's no guarantee, obviously. You know, you can't just guarantee that one site is going to be able to rank in the top 10 on it based on just its keywords and the, you know, the data behind it. So what's best is to create, you know, 3 or 4 or 5. If you're brand new at this, what you should do is set a goal to create at least 5 niche sites first. And, you know, it's best to choose 5 keyword phrases to base your domain and your whole site on that are in unrelated niches, or product categories in the case of these Amazon sites. And, you know, optimize the homepage, the site itself, build backlinks, do the same process for all 5 sites. And you just basically want to wait 4 to 6 weeks and see which ones are ranking, you know, getting to the top 10 or climbing in the search engine rankings. Because some will, and I can guarantee you that some will. Well, I can't guarantee it, but more than likely some of them will and some just won't for whatever reason, even though you're using the same link building methods and everything. And the ones that do get to the top and are, you know, make, that should be making sales if you do the rest of the site content correctly, it should be making sales. And so all you have to do is, you know, you go back to those sites that are working out and you just expound on those. Maybe add 20 to 30 more pages at that point, because then you know you're not wasting your time for sure. The content that is there is getting ranked, it's getting traffic, it's creating sales. So it makes sense to go to, back to those sites and add more content, which will result in more traffic and more sales. That doesn't mean that you should give up on the other sites that aren't ranking. You know, you can basically duplicate the whole backlinking process, do another series of UAW submissions, maybe some more profile links, some link wheels from Fiverr. That link wheel gig that I linked to on Fiverr works very well. And it's pretty awesome that it's a Fiverr gig, which means it's just $5. So utilize that. That's on my backlinking tutorial page, a link to that specific Fiverr gig. Okay, and that's basically what I wanted to go over for the niche sites, the changes to Market Samurai, what I'm using now. I've been emailed a lot about that, switching to the Longtail Pro. And then today I published a new blog post about how to actually write the Amazon product review. So we'll go into that for a minute. This post, I don't know. If you got my email the other day, I cut off part of my finger in an unfortunate cucumber accident, which sucks. It's super hard to type and it's painful. I don't know how long, you know, this wound is going to be like this, but really crappy situation. So anyways, this post that I put up today, there's kind of just a general template I follow. I don't write a lot of my own product reviews at this point. You know, I have them outsourced. I really like to use Rob Reed's service. I have a link to that on the blog post here. He just has writers he's just trained to specifically write Amazon product reviews. But if you're not at that point and you're going to write your own, I wrote my own for a long time. I mean, it's not a big deal. There's basically 4 elements to a successful Amazon product review. And, you know, if you look up any big established review sites like CNET.com, for example, I mean, they essentially follow the same outline. You don't need to try to reinvent the wheel or do anything crazy. The 4 elements of a good review are the title, the intro, the body, and then the recap. And I guess that's, you know, that's the same format for any article, really. So first of all, the title. The title, you're trying to accomplish 2 different things with your title. First of all, your title needs to do more than just include, you know, your keyword. You don't want your title to just say, you know, like Sony AWS 345 headphones review. Because if you think about it, if your site is, or your article's ranking in the top 10 of Google, like it should, it's going to be listed with 10 other 10 other articles or 10 other search results that are all on that same topic. So your title needs to contain elements that make people want to click on it. So that just means that it's human friendly so that it doesn't read awkwardly. And you do need to include your keywords in there for SEO purposes. Obviously, the title is one of the most important places to put your keywords. So you can do things like, on the blog post here I wrote, so instead of just like the Sony headphones review, you could say, why the Sony AWS-345 headphones will make your ears bleed in a good way. Something like that. Or, you know, are the Sony AWS-345 headphones worth the money? You know, just add something like that that piques curiosity. Again, it's not rocket science. You don't need to, you know, try to come up with the best title ever, but just put more in there than just the, you know, the keyword followed by the word review. And then some people teach to put in like gimmicky stuff like product X scam, like are the Sony headphones a scam? ? Or, don't buy the Sony headphones until you read this. I don't really like, you can do that. I mean, whatever you want to do, obviously, but I don't really like to use that kind of stuff just because, I don't know. I just think it would bug any normal, like, smart person. And you won't see those kind of headlines on like CNET.com or Consumer Reports. So I just don't like using those. Okay, so that's basically it for the title. Now the intro, there's kind of an old saying in writing or copywriting in general that just says, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And that's just kind of a simple formula for really effective persuasive writing. So in the intro, the basically is the part where you tell them what you're going to tell them. If you go to CNET.com and just look at any review that they have, they follow the same format. They put the good, the bad, and the bottom line. So they give you the entire review in a nutshell. And it's just not a bad, you know, you can just straight up copy that method. It works. It's effective. That's pretty much all I need to say about the intro. You know, you can just copy that exact format and you'll have a good intro. Now, the point of the intro, I mean, again, back to copywriting, the point of your title and the point of your first sentence, essentially every line on your page, the purpose of it should be to get the reader to read the next line. So that following that idea, the idea of your intro should just be to pique the reader's interest to get them to read the entire review. So now we go into the body. The body of a review article. Okay, obviously, the whole idea of a review article, especially in our case, we want the reader to go on, click through to Amazon, and make a purchase. So what you want to do is you want to provide enough of the right information for the reader to make up their mind while they're reading your review to make a buying decision. Okay, so because the last thing that you want is for them to come to your site, read your article. If it's crappy or vague or ambiguous, whatever the problem is, the last thing that you want to have happen is them to go back to the research results and just visit someone else's site that has a better review than you do. If you provide enough of the right information, then, the majority of the time, you're going to end up getting the click-through to Amazon and then the commission when they buy the product with your cookie in place in their browser. So you want to include enough of the right information. So a revolutionary concept or a method that you can kind of follow is, and I'm being sarcastic obviously, is to put yourself in the reader's shoes. Go to Amazon or just Google, you know, the product that you're going to review, and just think of it as if you're really going to buy the product. I mean, go through the same research process that you do when you're going to buy something. You know, you you figure out what the competing products are. You know, essentially what you want to do is just find what product do more people buy out of a certain, you know, type of product. If it's sleeping bags, you want to find what the best-selling, highest-rating sleeping bag is. It's just, you follow that process, and you can create a bulleted list as you go through the process and read different reviews. You can just pull out these positive things that people have said. And what you'll notice is that in real customer reviews, you know, in copywriting, they tell you to write about benefits, not features. And what you'll find is that customer reviews, the language that they use, they write in benefits. So, or they'll, you know, they'll name a feature and then they'll write why they like it, which is the benefit of that feature. So you can find those by reading the reviews and pull those out and put them into a bulleted list. And then you do the same thing with the negatives. And that just, that gives you a great starting point to write the review. I mean, include that bulleted list in the actual review, but then you can, to actually write the paragraphs or the body of your article, you can take what you feel like are the top three or four features or main benefits, and then just expound on those and write a paragraph about each one. And then, you know, take a few of the negatives and combine those into just one paragraph about the, you know, the negatives. And it is good to include negatives in your reviews. Don't feel like you need to include only positive, because people know that products aren't perfect, and they just want a real review. So you'll have higher conversion rates if you include, you know, negatives. Just let people know up front, because that's part of that idea of providing enough of the right information for them to make a decision. If you don't include any negatives, they will go back to the search results and, you know, get somebody else's cookie attached to their browser. It won't be you. Another thing that you can add into the body is what I really like. Well, to list some product specs, and again, you can get that on Amazon's product page. Let's see, what else? Oh, comparison tables. There's that plugin that I recommended in an older post or a previous Amazon post. I like to add a comparison table, and I've been putting two comparison tables per article, the same table, but it's just, I mean, it's part of, you know, the idea of tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you've told them type of thing. You can just put that comparison table somewhere around the middle of your review article, and then make that the very last thing as well. So when they're done reading the article, that comparison table is sitting there with the product that you've recommended and then like the top three competing products. And then, okay, so that covers the body basically. The next element of a good review is the recap. And this is the part where you just tell them what you've told them. So you simply sum up the review, restate the good things about the product, why it's a great product to buy, and then like I said, you can put in a comparison table again. And then you want, in your recap, you want a clear call to action. Whereas throughout the body of the article, you might have linked to Amazon, the specific product page, by just, you know, making a few parts of your paragraphs or parts of your article a clickable link that mention the product name or whatever. In your conclusion or your recap, you want to make a very clear call to action, you know, that says, click here to buy now, or click here to see the lowest price or to get the current price, or whatever. You want to say, click here to, you know, whatever you want to put in there. Buy the products, check the prices. And, you know, that's just a simple way to write an effective review. And in the next episode or the next training session, I'm going to go into more detail on certain elements that you can add to your reviews to increase conversion rates. But for now, that's pretty much what I wanted to cover. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to actually visit my blog, strayblogger.com. And please go to iTunes and in the search bar, just type in Stray Blogger. You'll find my podcast. Please rate the podcast and leave a rating. That would be awesome. So thank you again for listening, and we'll talk soon.